Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of Quantum of Solace.
I watched the second half of Quantum of Solace.
And this is the other half.
Watch till you
can't. We haven't done this in a while. We haven't done a Bond movie in a while.
We took a break. We didn't know what we were doing, but we're back. And we're back in the driver's seat, and I forced Ethan to finally watch one of these Watch Till You Can't movies. A movie that I think you've already seen and you know you didn't like, right? Is that
yes,
the story?
I remember not liking this movie when I watched it when it first came out. Back in 2008.
Back in 2008 when it first came out. I recall this movie also not being liked. The one thing I remember the most, though, is people not understanding the title. They said that the title was like gibberish, which it is. I did a little bit of like background research on the movie, and apparently they went in with no script. They didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, there was this during the writer's strike.
During the writer's strike, and it sounded like Daniel Craig was the sort of like main spearhead of like the creative decision maker, sort of going like, this will be kind of like a playoff of the last one. It'll be almost like a direct sequel. And
I think this is one of the only direct sequels, I feel.
Yes, that's what they said.
Yeah, I don't think there's any other Bond movies that's like as much of a direct sequel. There's references like an earlier one.
Yeah.
I think this is like...
This is one of the few movies where Felix is played by the same actor.
Yes.
In both
and
movies.
It's also like takes place like literally minutes after the...
Oh, I didn't
movie.
Know that.
Yeah.
I've heard also this movie is better if you watch it right after watching Casino Royale, which I can't imagine because this movie's fucking bad.
Really?
Oh, I hated this movie.
You know what? On second watch, I was like...
You liked it?
I was like, they're cooking with
well,
some
you,
stuff
Well,
here.
You're welcome, Ethan.
There's some things they're cooking here. I was kind of surprised how much I kind of liked it, but I do remember... The thing was I remember not liking the last half of the movie.
The last half is pretty fucking bad.
So watching the first half, I was like... We're kind of cooking here. There's some interesting things going on.
I mean, I'm excited to hear how the movie started out. I will say, when I pitched that we should watch one more of these movies, forced you to watch one more of these movies,
I'm very proud of that. You're like, I have the power.
I am
now,
proud of it because you're usually the motherfucker that makes me watch more movies.
I am usually the one that makes you watch more.
So I was hoping to watch the first half of the movie because I'd heard the first half is like better. But. I don't know if you noticed this, but the first half of the movie is very different from all other 007 movies.
Why is it very different from all those?
Because it doesn't start with a gun barrel shot.
Oh, yeah, there is no gun barrel shot.
The last one didn't have a gun barrel shot, but it did eventually lead up to
it. Yeah, led up to one.
Most
yeah.
of these 007 movies will
Wait,
open
it happens
with
at the end, doesn't it?
It does happen
it
at
happens
the end.
It happens at the end.
And it feels like an afterthought. It feels like they're like, oh, fuck, we forgot to put that
oh,
shot.
No, it doesn't feel cool.
We got to put it in.
It,
yeah. yeah. Whereas in the last movie, I still remember going the high of the last movie where we're just like, it felt like the gun barrel shot was like, inserted in just like perfectly,
oh, yeah.
like dramatically in the movie and everything.
It was like a late title card.
Yeah, this felt like an afterthought, like I said. It felt like it was just like, well, we have to put that
That's
in the movie at some
point.
That's
kind of how this movie feels. This movie kind of feels like when you're watching a TV show and you're watching the episode that kind of gets you to the next episode, like that sets up the next thing. That's what this feels like. It feels like they're just like, all right, we're just going to kind of like make this one. It's going to have some action in it. It's going to have some plot moving, but like we're kind of just waiting for the next one.
Is the one after this Skyfall?
Yeah.
Yeah. That movie fucking rocks.
So that's the thing is it's. I feel like this is just kind of like the filler episode.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's piecing together all the stuff that was let in the last. Like they keep bringing up Vesper.
Yeah, they bring up Vesper a lot.
A lot. Like I said, Jeffrey Wright is here again playing
Felix.
Yep.
Glad you get to see him at least.
Huh?
Glad you get to see him.
I was
at
very
least.
Excited to see him. I also got to see his partner,
Mr. Beam.
Mr. Beam.
Played by David Harbour.
Played by David Harbour. Yeah, he looks like a great guy in this.
He's hamming it up.
He is hamming it up. His name is Mr. Beam, you know? So, like, at one point he walks in with a turkey on his head. He's got a little teddy bear.
It's the American version of
Mr. Beam. Yeah.
Mr. Beam. He's just like, I'm all about the steel industry. Railroads.
The other thing I kind of dug about this movie was Green. Dominic Green.
He's an interesting villain.
Mostly because he's basically just... we've seen a lot of these movies in the political state that we're currently in America at the moment. He feels just a lot like Elon Musk.
Bro, there's a moment in this movie where I literally was reading a headline that came from this movie.
What do you mean?
You'll see. I'll tell you. It's pretty crazy how this movie really was just like, oh, we're talking about something very specific.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of dug that a bit. Like, it wasn't, it didn't, like, work with it very well. Like, definitely there's better, I mean, I think previous 007 movies would probably deal with this same issue worse. Although.
That's the thing that's weird, is it's like, is this worse than...
Like previous ones?
A lot of bad ones? Or there is just like just kind of a messy film?
There, they did get a Ukrainian woman to play a Spaniard, so that's probably pretty bad.
I mean, Spanish people are white people. It's fine.
I suppose.
They're called this as well.
She's doing an accent. They had to like darken her skin and shit.
Oh, they darkened her skin? I thought she just got a tan. Yeah, maybe you're right. That's weird.
I saw photos of her, and I don't think she looks like this.
Oh, I don't think she's a Spaniard, actually. I think she's supposed to be playing someone else.
Oh, what is she
actually
supposed
to be
playing?
From, like, South America. Oh. That is bad.
Then that's even worse.
Yeah, that's bad.
See, I didn't know what she was. I
honestly don't know what she is either. She's kind of implied.
I think that's probably they knew what they were doing. They were like, maybe we shouldn't, like, state where she's from, like, specifically.
Yeah, ambiguous.
Yeah.
Speak Spanish.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But yeah, so that is very much like old Bond, you know? You'd have Dr. No, a white guy in yellow face, you know?
Yeah,
you'd
I guess that's what I suppose you could get. Yeah,
it all gets back to the original ones. But also, just didn't like how it was directed. I kept calling out, I thought the editing was bad, but then I realized I also just didn't like how it was directed. And then I looked up the director, and he's never made a movie like this before. Like, he made, like, Finding Neverland, Christopher Robin. Like, he's mostly made, like, down-to-earth, like, human
not
movies.
Yeah, because the action in this movie is kind of
incredible. Fucking awful.
It's so hard to tell.
Hard to follow.
And the thing is, they did, that's what they mostly use because they didn't have a writer. So they were just like,
no, exactly.
The action scenes are all very long.
Yes.
Which is funny.
They're bombastic.
This might be the shortest James Bond movie.
I was like, it's crazy how short this movie is.
I double checked.
Me too. Me too.
I was like, oh man, this is only an hour and a half, like an hour 40 minutes. What are we doing here?
Yeah. But also, kind of feels a little long at times.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of drags a little bit at times.
That's because the action scenes are like, all right, it feels like dialogue scene and then cuts to action scene.
Yeah.
It feels like you feel the divide a lot because it's like action scene doesn't really do much except be like, is this set piece cool? I guess.
Yeah.
And then it kind of goes on from there.
It's kind of funny because I can tell the director really cares about like the human drama. Like I read a bit that the director was interested in like he wanted M to be a bigger character in this movie because he found M's character to be interesting.
Yeah.
But then it's like that stuff is the stuff that is in the script that needs to be like hammered out and like stapled down.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff that's like really analogous, you know,
yes.
Like whereas the action scenes, like you said, it really feels like they're sort of like ham fisted in there because they need to be in there. And those are like the big bombastic stuff. There's definitely like a couple of shots in the action scenes that are well done, but like they're in between some of the worst action editing I've ever seen.
Oh,
like,
man.
It's so
hard to follow
bad.
What's going on in a lot of this. And
I had to look
bummer.
Up like when it was made because I'm like, are they trying to like replicate like Michael Bay style editing?
I thought they were trying to do like a Bourne Identity.
Like a Bourne Identity kind of thing. It's bad, dude. It's really fucking bad. It's hard to follow. But tell me a little bit about the movie.
Yeah, we'll talk about the start. So we start off with shots of an island and a ton of cars chasing each other and people are shooting each other and they're driving in this little tiny like these place with only two lanes and Bond's being shot at.
Is this how the last movie ended?
No, it didn't.
Okay.
But you'll see.
Okay.
So he's being shot at, Bond's driving away, it's chaotic and crazy. There's the Italian cops are there. They're gonna start chasing Bond. This car's getting like messed up, it's getting hit into like semis and everything. But it's just a brutal car chase. Like they do not stop with the brutality and how everything feels. Even with the mid-editing. Bond then eventually pulls out a gun and shoots the guys who are like right next to him. And the dude flies off the edge of a big cliff. And then Bond drives quietly into Sea, Italy. And opens up the trunk. Or he goes into like a secret base and then opens up the trunk of his car. And you see Mr. White's there. And he says, it's time to get out.
Who's and Mr. White again?
Mr. White is at the very end of the last movie. Bond pulls out a gun and hunts him down and shoots him in the leg because he's the one who was last traced with Vesper.
Got it.
And he then shoots him in the leg and then says like, who are you? He's like, I'm Bond, James Bond. And then assumingly he puts him in his trunk and then this
and now this is
starts.
What happens next.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
So this is like right thank afterwards.
You. Thank you.
It's
been a while since we saw that movie.
I know, it's been a little bit since that.
And I didn't see the ending. So,
you didn't see the ending, to be fair. So, yeah, so he's kind of like, I'll say almost like the Blofeld type, but like, you know, he's a mysterious man.
Right.
You don't know anything about him. So
well,
then,
he works for Quantum.
Quantum, yes, exactly. But then, bam, as soon as he says, time to get out, title sequence. And, you know, Another Way to Die starts playing, which is...
How does it sound? How does it look?
Honestly, pretty fucking sick.
Who sings it?
Jack Black and Jack.
Jack Black.
No, not Jack Black.
It was Tenacious D.
Tenacious D. I'm not the time to die. Ooh, slaughter chicken.
This is not a James Bond song. It's a tribute to it. Yes.
No, it was Jack White and Alicia Keys.
Oh, that's very cool. I like that.
The only time it was they've ever done, and the only time they've ever done a song with two people.
Yeah.
Honestly, really cool. I thought it was really good. The sequence is pretty cool looking too. It's like they're in the sand and Bond's walking around it. Those giant naked ladies everywhere like come out of the sand, which is kind of crazy. But
you got to do that.
It looks visually, it looks pretty cool. Nice. I think it's a very cool title sequence.
Nice. Good for them.
Yeah, it was good. I think it was one of my favorite intro sequences.
Very cool. There. Sounds cool.
Yeah. So then Italians are hanging out and gathering into a Colosseum for a horse race.
Prego, spaghetti.
Yes, that's exactly what they're saying the whole time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then Americans, they would cut to M is there as well, and mm-hmm. James Bond is in kind of like this undisclosed area. And they are going to interrogate Mr. White. But before that, they're kind of chatting with each other. And M is like, the Americans are not going to be too happy about this. And he says, they got Le Chiff. And she says, they got his body. And he said, if they wanted to save his soul, they should have made a deal with the priest. I was like, damn, all right.
Nice. That's a good line.
M says, I know, I'm like, how did no writers write that? Maybe that's the only thing they wrote. And they're like, we're done. We're walking off. So M says, like, the body of Vesper's boyfriend, who she was protecting, washed up. On some island, and I guess the fish like ate his face up, so they like thought it was
him.
But then M said that they took a lock that Vesper had from her boyfriend's hair,
mm-hmm.
and like tested the DNA, and apparently that body wasn't his. Does this come into play ever?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because
they
find
the boyfriend later in the movie.
Okay, because I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Anyway, so Bond steals something off of M's desk, and M says immediately, not seeing this, and says, like, Bond, I need to know I can trust you. He's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, you'd be a pretty cold bastard if you didn't want revenge on the person you love. And he's like, no, I don't care. Just whatever. And she's like, you can definitely trust me. So then they go and interrogate Mr. White. Mr. White says,
I've been making meth for 10 years.
I have terminal cancer. And I started a whole quantum organization to stop this, to protect my family.
I am the one who knocks.
So then he's like, oh, I know you well,
Mr. White.
Bond, I've heard a lot about you. You know, I think she was really in love with you, Vesper was. And I honestly thought when we had her, we'd have you as well, because I think you'd do anything for her.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny that he looks to M and is like, we were always worried about you guys listening in on us. It turns out you guys didn't even know about us. You never even knew about us. We weren't even on your radar. Mm-hmm. And M's like, well, we know about you now, and we're quick learners. So tell us what you know. And he just goes, well, the first thing you should know is we have people everywhere. And then he says, isn't that right? To this bodyguard guy that was M's bodyguard, pulls out a gun.
Oh, shit.
And then starts shooting everyone.
Holy fuck.
I know. It's kind of crazy. And
that's awesome.
Actually shoots Mr. White and kills him.
Oh.
And so you're like,
to protect him.
Oh, shit. I know. So much for protecting him. Or maybe it was Bond and shot him. It's hard to tell because the sequence is crazy.
Yeah, it's terribly edited.
So then, then it becomes a huge chase. Bond pulls a gun. He chases the guy who turned. It's a huge chase sequence. Ends up in that earlier, during this whole interrogation scene, they kept establishing this Colosseum with the horses. Mm-hmm. And then they finally are doing the horse race, and then Bond, and then they're running through. And the guy runs up and actually like shoots at Bond and kills like random people just in this huge Colosseum. There's tons and tons of people. This is a really impressive set.
It's Colosseum.
So then I was like, is this going to come into play later? They're going to be like, you're killing random people, Bond, or something like that. That's coming to play later. Nope. Okay.
Nope, never. Okay. I mean, they don't trust him, but they've never trusted him.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
So then they're running through Italy. He's running around rooftops. He's terrorizing the whole place. Dooftops, yeah. They're a little different than rooftops. That's what they call
that's
them.
That's what Italy calls them. Yeah.
Yeah. He's dropping Italian grandma's food, and they're being like, and they're swearing in Italian.
And they're like, Mamma Mia!
It pretty much is that. Then they eventually get to like a construction site and kind of like an old area, and they fight, and they're whirling around on ropes, and it's a whole scene. You know, as messy as the chasing action sequences are, this was a little bit more comprehensible.
Yeah.
So you're watching it, and Bond can't reach his gun. The bad guy can't reach his gun. And eventually, Bond's stuck in ropes, and he eventually grabs the gun and shoots the bad guy.
It's kind of crazy because I read too that like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. The guy who plays James Bond.
Daniel Craig.
He was like, this was so much more difficult than Casino Royale, which is obvious because Casino Royale was.
He's doing a lot of crazy ass stunts in this.
Yes.
He's running through shit and like jumping on stuff.
And if I was Daniel Craig and I did all this stuff and I worked so hard on my body and like worked with all these stunt people, I'd be really fucking pissed if it was shot as poorly as it was.
I know, right?
Because you really can't tell what's going on or who's doing what.
Most of the work, it feels like I'm not enjoying the action sequence. I'm just trying to understand the action sequences is how I feel watching this movie.
It is a brilliant way of putting it, Ethan. Yeah. I completely agree with you.
You know, that's why he went and did Knives Out. He's like, I can get someone who can actually film something.
Yeah, exactly. But then he doesn't have to do any action in it.
That's true. Yeah. Well, he's retired now, basically. Yeah. He's retired from action. So then Bond comes back to the interrogation room after killing that guy, and everyone's gone.
Yeah.
He doesn't see anyone. So back in London, he goes. He talks to M. M's like, Craig Mitchell, the guy who shot up everyone.
Right.
Bond ended up killing. Says, he worked for me for 8 years. 5 as my personal bodyguard. When someone says we got people everywhere, you expect it to be hyperbole. So they're saying then that they traced the bills from Le Chiffre. And they're trying to figure out who funded him as kind of like a lead as to like what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they found this guy in Haiti who has been getting a whole bunch of them.
Because,
like, I guess Le Chiffre had money everywhere, like, was moving money around everywhere. Or the mysterious guy. I think maybe Mr. White is what. No, they're not. They're doing, like, money from Mr. White, who had money everywhere, and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And M's like, well, I might have a bill from him. And he's like, no. There's, like, we're checking people who have a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So then they find someone in Haiti. They send Bond to go check him out. Bond goes to Haiti, breaks into the guy's room. The guy comes out, tries to stab Bond. Little hotel fight. Bond then kills the guy again.
Jesus Christ, Bond.
And he wasn't supposed to. He was supposed to bring him
back. Yeah, he was supposed to bring him in for information.
He's like, oh, shit. Okay, well, so the funny thing is the guy who he killed kind of looks like him a little bit. So he puts on his outfit and then pretends to be the same guy. So he goes to the front desk and asks if there's any messages for him. And the front desk is like, no. Oh, we do have that briefcase that you asked us to hold.
It worked.
He's like, oh, I'll take that. So he takes that.
I'll take it.
Nice.
Yummy, yummy.
He walks outside, and some lady, our Bond girl,
Camille?
Camille's her name, played by Olga Kurylenko, who is also in Hitman, Max Payne, and was Taskmaster in Thunderbolts and Black Widow.
Well, there you go.
So I was like, she looked familiar-ish from like other things too.
I didn't recognize her at all, but I've also seen I don't think any of these things.
That's probably fair.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
I saw the first Hitman movie.
Yeah, Timothy Oliphant.
Is that the one she's in?
Yeah.
Oh, then I forgettable. Or maybe I didn't recognize her without the fake tan.
Yeah, that's fair. Anyway, so she says like tries to find a car, says get in, and he gets in. He's like okay, and then she's like I didn't think geologists look so, and he's like what. And then she notices some guy on a motorcycle following them. She's like, friend of yours? And he says, I don't have any friends. And then so that we enter another car chase because that was enough dialogue for the moment. And they do a whole chase. They chase them. And then she says like, oh, we didn't settle on a price. And she says, it's okay. We can do it over drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, is your offer good? What's in that case? And he opens the case and hands her like a report. But then underneath it's a gun. And she's like, what the hell is that? And he's like, I guess someone wanted to kill you. And then she pulls out a gun on Bond and then throws him out the car, shoots at him, and he jumps out the car because she thinks he's there to assassinate her.
They're so confused.
I know. And then the motorcycle guy that was following them catches up to Bond, and he's like, you were supposed to shoot her. And he says, I guess I missed. And then he knocks the motorcycle guy off and steals his bike.
Some very cute little Bond quips in this movie.
Yeah, it's cute. I mean, so far I'm like, all right, I'm having a good time.
Yeah, this is pretty good so far, other than the action sequences.
Yeah, well. So then M calls, and she's like, what happened to that lead? And Bond's like, dead end. And then he hangs up immediately, and she's like, he fucking killed him. So we get our lady, Camille. We follow her. Bond follows her, and she goes into like a little dock area that's kind of like quartered off in his little private area, and talks to a guy who seems upset. And it is Mr. Green, who you mentioned earlier.
So there's Mr. White, Mr. Green.
Mr. Green.
There's also Miss Peacock.
Miss Peacock. Professor Plum.
Professor Plum and Colonel Mustard.
Colonel Mustard. There's a colonel in
there.
There's
a colonel in the movie. That is true.
He's technically the general, I guess, but whatever. So he says, you know, how nice to see you. She's like, you tried to kill me. And he's like, I knew I shouldn't have slept with you. She's like, I was trying to uncover a leak for you, and you're trying to kill me. She's like, oh, well, I don't know about that. And she says some stuff about, like, this guy called me to offer to sell me information. And then he shows Mr. Green walks over to the edge of the dock and there's a dead body there. And he's like, is it that guy? And she's like, yes. And he's like, looks like I already took care of it. And he says, you know, I like you a lot, but, like, I have a feeling you were only sleeping with me to get to General Matrono.
Yes.
And he's like, stick around, I'll introduce you.
Because he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah. So then we see General Matrono walking with Mr. Green, and General Matrono, or Mr. Green says, you know, we're trying to take over, I know you're trying to take over your country back. Like, you're trying to become a dictator, basically. And, you know, I think all these people are upset and other countries are mad because we elected in Haiti.
Medrano, I think his name is.
Medrano? Medrano? You meant, yeah, right.
Medrano.
Oh, I put a T there instead. My bad.
Okay. It's okay.
So we elected a president who raised the minimum wage from 30 cents to $1 a day. So everyone's upset because now they can no longer make cheap stuff in this country. And Medrano wants the country back. And Green says, my organization can give it to you back in like a week.
Oh.
Like, we can overthrow this guy. It'll be easy. And he's like, all right, what's the catch? And he's like, we want this part of desert in return.
Yes.
You give us this desert. And the guy's like, this land is worthless. Like, we tried mining oil there and everything, and there's nothing.
There's nothing there.
He's like, well, then you're getting a good deal.
Yeah. Like, so why doesn't he take it then?
He's like, all right, I'll take it then. So Ben, he's also like, oh, by the way, you know that like guy you killed a long time ago? Well, his daughter works for me. Why don't you consider her to sweeten the deal?
Ooh.
And he says, just make sure to throw her over the side of the ship when you're done. And
so he's playing both sides here. He's going to give them both opportunities.
Kinda,
like.
Yeah.
He's working with Camille to go, like, you want to get to close to Medrano, and then he's talking to Medrano.
Yeah, but I think the power dynamic is maybe a little bit different with Medrano because it's just her and his goonies, and she's
yeah,
just
no,
there.
Exactly.
So he's like, all right, and he says, he goes up to meet her. Medrano meets her, and then he says, it's a shame I was the last person to see your family alive. she clearly wants revenge because he killed.
Oh, obviously,
family.
Yeah, it's not great.
No. So then Bond, by the way, Bond's been at the outskirts of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been watching.
Yeah, he's not. It's nothing to do with any of this.
Yeah, but he's been watching because he's like curious about her.
Right.
And now he sees all this happening because she gets in his boat and he's like, I got to save her. So he drives his motorcycle over some boats and then eventually steals a speedboat and tries to basically crash into Medrano's boat and jumps in, steals Camille, and she's upset because she's like, I wanted to get to that guy. And they just eventually have to drive off. There's just a bunch of shooting. He has to try to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Basically rams a bunch of boats into each other. He eventually drives over one of the boat's motors and blows it up.
Whoa.
Without blowing up his ship.
That sounds pretty cool.
It was all right. And they eventually escape. And I guess she gets knocked out. And he takes her out of the boat and gives her to some random guy and says, looks like she's seasick. And then the guy's like, okay. I guess I'll deal with this passed out lady you just handed to me. So then Bond calls the headquarters and asks about Dominic Green. And they're like, I don't know who Dominic Green is. Mm-hmm. You need to give a better description. But they say the biggest hit is he's a CEO of some big corporation. And M is like, all right, well, the corporation's in the U.S., so let's call the U.S.
All right.
And they call the U.S., and the person's like, who you're trying to connect to? And he's like, oh, we're trying to get information about Dominic Green. And they're like, okay, I'll connect you to Mr. Beam and the... from South America.
We're going to have Mr. Beam connect you to Dominic Green.
Almost. We don't know about that yet. And we see him like, oh, it's David Harbour. He's hanging out with Jeffrey Wright in like a fucking private jet.
Uh-huh.
And they say, basically, it's like, so do you have any information on this guy? And he's like, oh, no, we don't even know who that guy is. It's fine. We don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
Hang up. But M's like, they're lying to us because why would they transfer us directly without like asking who he is? They knew exactly who to transfer us to. They're clearly tracking him.
Right. They know what's going
on. They're doing something.
That's British intelligence right there.
That's British intelligence right there, not British stupidity, which we've seen a lot in this series.
Very much so. But now we've got some intelligence.
Finally. It took so long.
You take M and you turn it upside down. You know what it is?
Woman.
W.
Which means win.
Which means wicked.
Wicked.
And then you take Wicked Witch, and you turn the W's upside down.
Uh-huh.
Madame Morrible. Have you not heard this meme? I'm just doing
a
meme.
I've never heard
this.
I've never heard this. I'm not on the internet anymore.
Well, it's hysterical.
Okay.
It's the lady that plays Michelle Yeoh. There's this like thing going around where she's like, I play Madame Morrible. And if you take MM and you turn them upside down, it turns into WW, which is Wicked Witch. And then she gets very excited and she's like delighted about that. You've not heard about this at all.
Never heard of this in my
life. Oh, listeners, I'm so sorry.
Maybe they have. I'm sure listeners love it. I'm sure listeners love it. I'm just an ignorant man on the internet talking about Quantum of Solace, a movie from 2008.
A movie you were forced to watch.
A movie I was forced to watch against my will. So then they're like, we're going to go to Austria because that's where Mr. Green's going to have a big convention. He's going to meet some people there. So they're going to go there. So we then cut back to Mr. Beam and Mr. Green walks in.
Mr. Green walks into Mr. Beam?
He walks right into that private jet. And I'm like, oh, shit. And Green is like, so, Mr. Beam, we have an understanding, right?
Yeah. And then Mr. Cream shows up, too.
No, Mike. No, Mr. Cream is not in this movie. Oh. He's in the next movie, though.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta wait for that.
Well, we gotta wait we gotta watch Skyfall when Mr. Cream shows up.
Mr. Cream shows up, because that's what I'll be doing when I see Skyfall, because it's such a good movie.
And then Mr. Dream is there as well.
Yeah.
Well, he's canceled. Always sleepy.
He's not allowed to be in there, because he got canceled.
Why is he canceled?
Well, he was written by Neil Gaiman.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's a good reference.
Yeah, audience wouldn't get that one. Maybe you would, I don't know.
Maybe.
If you get the Michelle Yeoh thing, if you get whatever.
Tell me more about Mr. Green and Mr. Beam.
So Mr. Green is like, they're flying. By the way, is this henchman with the bowl cut? You ever see him?
Yeah, his name is Elvis.
Really?
He's bald apparently too. His wig falls off at some point.
I mean, yeah.
What a nothing fucking stupid character.
He really is nothing. He's really just there.
But yes, he's the guy with the bowl cut.
Okay, so anyway, so Green's like, we have an understanding, right? And Beam says, well, we do have an understanding. We do nothing to stop the coup in Bolivia, and we get a lease on any of the oil you found.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, the oil. He's like, wait, do you guys find like diamonds in that land? He's like, oh, I didn't say anything. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then Mr. Green says, Venezuela, Brazil, and now Bolivia. South America is just getting toppled by America, or North America, the U.S., isn't it? And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Oh, man. History repeats itself.
History repeats itself.
Or art becomes life. Yeah.
Art becomes life.
And also in this movie, David Harbour cheats on his wife at some point, too. And then she releases an album all about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a crazy thing.
So
that also actually
happened in real life.
Yes, I know that one, Mike. I only learned about it recently.
So Lily Allen is a singer who was married to David Harbour.
Released a whole album about how he sucks. Yes, I understand that. Yes, yes, yes. But there's a line where Mr. Green says, you don't want Marxists just giving the people their resources, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Saying that to a U.S. representative. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is too close to home right now, brother.
It's getting really close to home. Yeah.
The bowl cut henchman, Elvis, I guess, gets a text message showing a picture of Bond and shows the photo to Beam. And Beam shows it to Felix, and Felix is like, "Uh-huh." And they're like, "We got to. It's Bond from the British Secret Service."
Yeah.
And Green's like, "Well, you have to take him out for me, right?" And he's like, "Don't worry, we'll do that, no problem." And then they land, and Felix is alone with Mr. Beam, and is like, "You want us to get in bed with him after all this stuff?" And Beam looks at him and says, I need to know what team you're on, Felix. Like, I need to know you value your career.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Mr. Beam's a bad guy, but we know Felix deep down.
Felix is
a real
guy.
One.
He likes Mr. Bond.
He likes Mr. Bond.
Yeah.
Not Mr. Beam.
Not Mr. Beam, but he's
not Mr. Green.
Not Mr. Green or Mr.
Unknown
Beam. I don't know
what he feels about Mr. Cream.
But Mr. Dream definitely
against
that
does not
guy.
Like Mr.
Yeah.
Dream.
But he does like Mr. Bond. He
does like Mr. Bond a lot.
He doesn't appear in any of the other Bond movies, right? I don't think he does.
I don't know. I've only seen Skyfall. I don't think he's not in that
he's
one.
He's not in Skyfall. Yeah.
There's two more after that. He could be in that.
Yeah, that's true. And Q's not in this movie either.
No. There's
Q's
no...
in Skyfall.
Man, this movie's missing a lot.
It is. But it's also an origin story, right? This is early Bond. He just got started at the... Technically.
But wasn't Q in the last movie?
No, Q was not in the last movie.
Right. Yeah, he wasn't, huh?
Yeah.
So Mr. Green... Oh, yes, because it's played by that nerdy guy.
He's played by Ben Whishaw.
Yeah. Anyway...
And then he, in Skyfall, because we're not going to watch it for the podcast, he says, him like his extravagant, you know, like gadgets. And then Bond's like, this is lame. And he goes, what were you expecting? An exploding pen or something like that. He makes fun of earlier Bond films.
Earlier Bond films. Yeah. It's really funny when you punch back at your old stuff. Especially from a guy who's
dead.
You
have to take me seriously. Yeah, I'm not John Cleese, bro.
Not John Cleese. Or the guy with the weird fingernails. I can't remember his name. The original Q. The goat. So Mr. Green arrives at this show in Austria. It's Tosca, the famous opera.
Oh.
So fancy. Bond comes in. He actually knocks out a guy, takes his tux. No, he doesn't knock out a guy. He steals a tux from someone's locker.
Uh-huh.
And he's already on the case trying to figure out like what's going on. Why is everyone meeting here?
He wants to see the opera.
He wants to see the opera. Yeah. He notices certain people are getting special bags. Like people are getting like guest bags or whatever, but some people are getting special VIP bags. So he goes to one of them and knocks out a guy who's getting one of those bags and sees that there's an earpiece. And he puts the earpiece in, which is the same earpiece that Mr. Green has.
Mm-hmm.
And then he puts the guy's body in a bathroom. Like, this is the most hitman-ass thing I've
ever
seen.
Yeah, it's very hitman.
So then Bond is watching the whole thing from the top of the rafters behind the stage. So he sees the audience is where he's looking. And he can see everyone there. And he starts listening in, and they start talking about their plan. They're like, okay, let's do it. Let's transfer the funds.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, will the Americans care about what we find? And Mr. Green's like, don't worry, they'll figure it out. It's okay, I figure that whole thing out. And they're like, well, what about when they're duped? And they figure out they've been duped this whole time. Mr. Green's like, don't worry, I got a plan for that. I'm still working on it, but I've got a plan, but it's
an outline of a plan.
It'll be figured out. You know, I got this great idea where we'll have like full self-driving in like probably a month. And it'll be across the world, and you'll be able to rent out whatever Mr. Green car we have. And everyone will be able to have one. And also have robots that can walk around and do all the chores. They'll be in warehouses everywhere.
And I'm going to buy a social media presence and then ruin it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make the smartest, most non-woke AI in the world. Anyway, so then Bond butts in and says, I think you people need a better place to meet.
Ooh.
And this scares everyone. And they start getting up and leaving in the middle of it. And he starts taking photos while I'm leaving because he knows they're all the ones who are in the organization.
Right, so he starts
taking photos of them.
So that he can keep track of
with his little cell phone. And I'm like, 2008 cell phone's not going to get any details in the middle of the dark. I mean, I guess it's probably secret agent shit, so it probably is better. But still, I'm just thinking about if he had a
normal
cell phone.
Q must have put something together so he could see.
But we don't know who Q is or anything about him. And then we see Mr. White is in the audience. And he says, well, Tosca is for everyone. Because everyone leaves, which is pretty funny. So then Bond leaves and confronts Mr. Green directly. And honestly, this whole scene, as soon as he entered the opera is going on at the same time as a giant eye. It's beautiful, beautiful, iconic Italian opera.
What is it?
It's Tosca.
Oh, sorry, Tosca. That's right.
Yeah. So then the whole music's playing and it's crescendoing and it's getting there. And then all of a sudden the music cuts out because they pull out a gun and start shooting at Bond, and Bond has to run away from Green. And it's honestly super fucking cool. Like, this whole scene feels way, this is the action scene that is incomprehensible. It's incomprehensible still, but it works. Oh. It works for kind of the dramatic effect of the music that's going on.
Because there's
dramatic opera music playing in the background, and you see shots. But the director of this loves doing shots between, earlier was the horse race getting ready and the interrogation happening. Mm-hmm. And now it's the actual play of Tosca happening and whatever Bond's doing.
Right.
So it's cutting back and forth. There's literally a lady betraying someone and stabbing a guy at this moment when he's running away. And I'm like, oh, that's so similar to what happened to Bond earlier, right?
Yeah.
It's very thematic.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I think this really works well. He's running through kitchens, getting shot at.
Yeah. Also, it probably helps editing-wise because they have an existing piece of music to edit to.
Well, they cut the music out completely during the action scenes, which is a very interesting choice.
Interesting.
And then it kind of comes back in a little bit while Bond captures a guy and threatens him off the building. He's like, who are you working for? You have to tell me. Mm. But then Bond grabs the guy, and Bond, unfortunately, has to kill the guy.
So he
throws him off the edge, and he lands on top of the car with Mr. Green in it. And the guy's like, not dead. He just kind of gets up.
Yeah.
And Mr. Green's like, is that one of our guys? And the guy in the driving is like, no. And then he's like, well, get rid of him.
Yeah,
so he pulls out a gun and shoots him.
Damn,
I'm like,
dog.
Sucks for that guy.
Sucks for that guy.
Yep. So apparently, M gets a call from basically, I guess, intelligence agents, and then calls Bond about it and says, hey, listen, so that guy you killed, you can't be doing all this. That guy you killed is actually a member of our agency. He was in special branch. He was guarding one guy that I guess is corrupt in, I think he's like the prime minister's assistant or something, who is part of probably the quantum organization.
Because
Bond sent all the photos to headquarters and they scanned
them.
And
they're very high resolution.
Mm-hmm. Also, he's like taking pictures of back of people's heads and they're still scanning it and being like, I don't know about that. But he's like, I'm still going to do it. And she's like, you need to back off. Like, you're getting to some really, really powerful people and doing all of this. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no. And so he hangs up, and then M puts a restriction on all of his cards.
Tells him he can't travel anywhere.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So Bond then goes and tries to get a hotel.
But he can't. Can't afford it.
Gets declined. She's like, ah. He walks up to her, and he's like, listen, if they call, someone's going to call me about 10 minutes here because their card got pinged. Tell them I went to Cairo. All right, can you do that for me? And she's charmed by him, of course. And she's like, okay, sure. Just kidding. He's going to Italy. So he goes to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
He's going off the books, right? So he goes and finds Mathis from the last movie. Do you remember Mathis?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Mathis is the person who worked with Vesper and was the one you thought betrayed Vesper.
He's the guy with the cigar.
Yes.
Yeah,
he's
the old guy.
He was cool. So he's back.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in your half, right?
He is in my half. Yeah, I thought I recognized him. Yeah.
And Mathis like come to apologize because Mathis showed up, I think, at the end of the movie while Bond was recovering, and they fucking tasered him off, but then they realized it wasn't actually him. It was Mr. White who was doing the whole bad stuff. Bond comes up and is like, I think retirement suits you because he's in this nice villa in Italy, and he has like a wife or lover there, and she's there and is like, why are you complaining so much? Because, you know, they made this mistake. They bought this villa for you because you were innocent.
Oh.
And he's like, yeah, all right. I guess I can't be that man. Bond's like, I need a credit card and a passport. And he's like, I don't know. I guess I can do that for you.
How do you get someone a credit card?
I don't know. I mean, how do you get people a passport?
You make a fake passport.
Yeah, but you make a fake credit card.
Yeah, but there's no money on it.
You can probably, well, I mean, it's charged. So you just fake the charges, right?
Oh, and then they never get paid. True. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Exactly.
We answered our own questions.
You answered it.
Yeah.
But it's funny because he's like, you know, when you're young, gesturing at Bond.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, it's easy to think there's right and wrong, but as you get older, you start mixing them up. Right and wrong. It gets a little harder. Things get more gray. And he says, I'm sorry about Vesper. I think, you know, it looked like she really loved you. And then Bond just goes, yeah, up until the moment she betrayed me.
Ooh.
It's like relevant considering it's like things are not as black and white, because he also then says like, but she also like saved your neck. So,
yeah, hard to read.
Hard to read. Yeah. Hard to put a read on it. So then they talk about Guy Haines, who I guess is one of the prime minister's closest advisors. Bond has no idea who it is, but Mathis does. And he's like, all right, well, it's in Bolivia where they're going to destabilize the government, I think. Actually, I don't know if he knows that, but there's stuff going on in Bolivia.
Sure.
And he's like, any contacts there? He's like, yeah, I used to be stationed in South America. Yeah, you can. I got some contacts I can hook you up with. He's like, actually, can you come with me? And he's like, I'm retired, though. And then he sees his lady who's like, who literally says in Italian, like, I want to feel your fingers on my skin. Because she's like out sunbathing.
Yeah.
He's just like, and then he goes with Bond. Bond's on like a plane drinking. And he's like, and Mathis is like, what are you drinking? And he's like, I don't know. What am I drinking? And the bartender's like, just basically describes a very fancy martini that's been shaken, not stirred.
I was curious about that.
Yep. And he's like, oh, that's crazy. He's like, and he's had 7 of them. Bond's fucking wasted on this plane. And Bond's like, I'm wondering, Mathis, why you came with me. And Mathis is like, you know, it takes something for someone to admit they're wrong.
Mm.
And I think that was really admirable. So I think I'm coming with you. And I'm like, I don't know if that's a great excuse. But okay.
It's just because the plot needs him to be there.
It's because the plot needs him to be there. They got to tie up that loose end, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can't sleep. Do you need a pills for that? I got tons of pills. Some make you taller. Some make you forget. And Bond's like, no, I'm good. I don't want to take any pills. I'm just going to keep drinking. So they're going to go try to get some sleep on their Virgin Atlantic flight.
Mm. Oh, I love Virgin.
Virgin Atlantic, it says.
Also, the guy that ran Virgin was in the last movie.
Oh, yeah, it's true. They must have had some like weird partnership or
three
something.
Three frames or something.
You're
like
right.
That.
He wasn't there.
Richard Branson.
So then Bond goes and meets... Oh, he goes and lands and goes to the hotel. And someone named Miss Fields is there.
Yes.
Agent Fields.
Agent Fields.
She's there, and she's there to bring 007 in. She's wearing, like, a big trench coat, and I'm like, why are you wearing it in Bolivia? Like, Bolivia's kind of warm. But she's got, like... It looks like she's wearing a trench coat, and at any point she's going to rip open her clothes and show that she's in, like, either a sexy outfit or, like, underwear or something.
Pretty much. She's a, like, a desk person. Like, she's not somebody that should be out in the field, basically. Okay. Even though her name is Fields. Now, do you know what her full name is?
I do not know her full name.
They don't say it in the movie, but I had to look it up because they were very adamant that her name is only Fields. But she's based off of a Ian Fleming character whose name is Strawberry Fields.
Oh, wasn't she in the last? Was she in a movie before? I feel like she might have been. Recognize that name. I'm gonna look it up after my half, which is about to end right now.
Yeah, I was gonna say
her. She's ordered basically like, I have to turn you around the first flight. London, you're not allowed to be here, Bond.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's the first flight to London? She's like, tomorrow. And he's like, okay, well, I have a day to fuck around then, so I'm gonna go do that.
Yep.
And yeah, that's been in my half.
So they stop off at a shitty looking hotel because she says that their cover is that they're going to be teachers that are out here.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, I don't want to stay there. He refuses to stay there because it's crappy looking.
Okay.
So he refuses to get out of the taxi. So she's like, if we stay anywhere nicer, it's going to blow our cover. And then they arrive at like this grand hotel.
Okay, Strawberry Fields is not in any other thing.
There we go. So he says that they are teachers, but they're on sabbatical and they won the lottery. So now their cover will not be blown.
Okay.
Mathis says that they've been invited to a party thrown by Green Planet tonight. And
Green Planet. That's his seat. That's the name. Such a silly name.
It's a very silly name. And Mathis also says that he's having a drink with his friend, who's a colonel. And Bond, I didn't mention this because it's not really that important, but right before that, Bond and Fields enter their hotel room, and clearly he's like putting the moves on Fields.
Uh-huh.
And Fields is like, oh, I would never. And now
she does. Yeah.
Yeah. Fields is completely naked, acting annoyed at Bond and herself because she wound up sleeping with him and he invites her to the party.
Do you know who plays Fields?
Yeah. She's like a really cool actor. She was in,
she's in a ton of shit, like a while, like a long time.
Don't say anything. She was in Prince of Persia.
Uh-huh.
She was also in, Hansel and Gretel.
Yep.
Witch Hunters. Witch Hunters. She's in The Voices.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three I think I know her from.
She's also in The Kingsman.
I
never saw The Kingsman either, but that's what I saw.
Yeah.
She's in Class of Titans.
Never saw it. But yeah, she's a really cool actor. Stuff.
Yeah, but I like her a lot. I feel like she was of the moment, right? In that moment, she was kind of coming up.
Yeah, yeah. I think she's
actually,
sort of
a lie.
Slowed down.
I guess not, because that was like her fourth movie, unless you count Rock and Roll as a big movie that she was in.
What is she been in? Has she been in anything recently that we would know?
Recently, no.
Okay.
Unless let me look in television. Nope, nothing.
Wow.
Nothing I recognize.
Good for her. You know, get that 007 money and never work a damn day in your life if you don't want to. So he invites her to the party. At the party,
she's still working. We just haven't heard of what she's working on.
Oh, so nothing that we would know about.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I guess she was in The Critic.
The Critic? The TV show?
The movie.
The TV show.
This says movie. This must be a movie version.
He's just
of it.
Like, it stinks.
It stinks. This is terrible. I never heard of this movie.
Is it released already?
It's got Ian McKellen in it.
Oh, yeah. Ian McKellen plays the critic, the titular critic.
Yeah, the titular critic.
I think this was after, was that after Cats? He was in Cats? He played the critic?
Yes, yeah. This was after Cats.
Yeah.
It's 2023.
Yeah. Okay. So at the party, do you want to call him Green or Dominic? Green?
I've been calling him Green this whole time.
All right.
We're going to change it up?
I'm not going to change it up. At the party, Green talks about how global warming has ruined the planet, and he thinks that all the people in attendance here at his party will take part in the upcoming Terraria project, which will hopefully reverse the damage that has been done.
Okay. I mean, it sounds good. This guy seems like a great guy.
That's the thing. This is my first introduction. I'm like, oh, yeah, this guy. I mean, I'm like, what? Watch the movie make this guy into a bad guy for wanting the best for the environment. And then it's like, no, he doesn't give a shit. Mathis introduced Fields and Bond to Colonel Carlos. This guy is never brought up.
Colonel Carlos? There is a colonel in here. You weren't lying. You weren't lying. I thought you were talking about the general.
He is never brought up at all later in the rest of the movie. This doesn't matter. Camille interrupts Green during his rant about how governments are causing deforestation. And she reveals that he is, in fact, the one that's behind the deforestation. And he's very upset. about Camille basically ruining his reputation amongst some people that he was trying to like buy land from.
Okay.
And he plans on throwing Camille over a ledge, but Bond stops him, and Camille has some kind of injury on her back. Did you notice this? Like some kind of burn on her back?
Yeah, it's like a burn or something. It looks like it kind of comes across as just like dry skin you want to scrape off.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me.
It will come into play later. Fields trips one of Dom's, one of Greens's henchmen, who is bald. This is the one with the bad haircut.
Elvis.
Yeah. And then I wrote down, Jeffrey Wright is here. I forgot that he played a character
Felix.
With a name, Felix. Yeah. So I was just like, Jeffrey Wright is here. This is amazing.
It's not just any character. He's Felix.
Felix. Dude. The Felix.
The Felix.
Bond wants Camille to show him where Green's whole new project is. So they jump in a car and then they immediately get pulled over by cops. And in the trunk of Bond's car is Mathis.
Oh.
And he's dying. So somebody killed or shot Mathis, put him in the trunk of Bond's car. Bond drove off with the car, and then the cops pulled him over and saw Mathis.
Damn.
Like a dead body, essentially, in the trunk of the car.
They blame him, obviously.
But he's not dead. He's dying. And so the cops shoot at Bond. Bond uses Mathis's body as like a shield. And so they end up shooting Mathis, and then Bond ends up killing both cops.
Wait, Bond kills Mathis, basically?
Well, yeah, kind of. Mathis is not dead yet, but he's dying. And he tells Bond to forgive Vesper and himself, and then he dies. And so then Bond tosses his body in the trash can.
He doesn't give a fuck at this moment.
And takes his money, yeah.
Yeah, something about this isn't working. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just like...
The other thing that really
bothers
me...
It's like brutal, but like in a way that doesn't feel like... It feels like he's just kind of going through the motions.
The other thing that bothers me is like he knows that Fields is not a field agent. Like he knows that Fields is like a person that usually is like attached to a desk. He has abandoned her in a like giant, like clearly a place that is not safe.
Yeah,
just leaves her there.
Yep.
I hate that. I hate that. Bond jumps into a crappy old plane with Camille. They're gonna fly to Green's hideout. Suddenly a dogfight. Another plane comes and shoots at them.
What kind of planes are these? These like propeller planes?
Well, he's driving like a really big, crappy, smoky, kind of like a propeller plane. And then these other planes are like planes with actual like guns and shit.
Whatever, they have like jets on them, or they're also propeller planes. So he's fucking shooting jets down with propeller planes.
He's trying to avoid them.
Oh, okay.
He's got nothing, man.
Okay.
Camille prepares to jump out of the plane with a parachute. Bond thinks he's lost them, but then is fired on by a helicopter. So he has to grab onto Camille and they jump out of the plane together with one chute. And at the very last second, they pull the chute and then hit the ground. And I'm like, that would absolutely kill them. Like, they literally, like, pull it, and then, like, 5 seconds later, they hit the ground.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that would kill them.
It's not slow enough.
But also the falling of them, like, falling out of, like, falling in the sky looks fucking terrible.
Really?
It looks really bad. The CG looks really fucking bad. They cut to M, who has to talk to the minister, who chews her out in the place of the prime minister.
Okay.
Britain and... Green's interests align, and so and also they're like, he's not evil, you just think he's evil, like we don't have any actual like intelligence to say that he's evil, and they're like, we're acting out of necessity, like we have Americans and they have all this oil, we're gonna work with Green so that we can get some oil out of him as well, like we know he's a bad guy,
so just want the oil, so every government sucks
basically. Exactly. So Bond and Camille are somewhere like deep within the ground. They were shot down.
How far they fell? They fell so deep into the ground.
Yeah, basically. What they referred to as sinkholes, but they just seem like big caverns, like within like the desert, essentially. Because in the middle of the desert, Camille isn't trying to get Green. She's trying to get Medrano.
Yeah.
Because he killed Camille's family, as her father. Assaulted her mother and her sisters and then burned their house down. And that's where the burn on their back comes from. Bond apologizes for pulling her off of the boat. I didn't know what this meant. But
yeah,
because
she's going to assassinate him.
Yeah. They realize that the like cavern that they're in is essentially a riverbed, and they use dynamite to break it open. And basically they realize what Green is doing. He's not buying up oil. He's buying up water. He wants to own the water, create a fake drought, and build dams to hoard all of the water to himself so then he can essentially like charge.
That's crazy.
Yeah. He's a
I thought he was going to charge it to make a data center, but that's a little too modern.
That's what they do now.
Yeah.
Bond and Camille return to their hotel. They're dusty and bloody. A message is left for Bond and it says, "Run." Bond tells Camille to wait downstairs. He goes upstairs to his room, and up there is M. Fields is up there too, but Fields is dead.
Oh, shit.
Fields is in the bedroom, completely naked, covered in oil.
Whoa.
Just like in Goldfinger.
Yeah.
How that lady was covered in gold. Same exact thing, but she's covered in oil.
Which is basically like gold.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Like they mentioned earlier gold. That, like, I think it was during the meeting with everyone in the Tesco play or opera. They basically said, like, it's the most valuable thing in the world. We have to keep it. It's a valuable resource. So I guess it's like they've changed it.
Yeah. It is. They literally just do the shot from Goldfinger. Like, it looks exactly like it.
Yeah.
And M is like, she was an office girl. Like, she never worked in the field, and now she's fucking dead, and it's all your fault, Bond. And so M suspends Bond. They take his weapons.
Damn.
But in the elevator, he just beats up the guys that took his weapons, takes the weapons back, and then uses parkour to evade capture.
He's hardcore, dude.
Yeah.
He's so edgy.
There's a capture or kill order out on him. But now M does trust him.
Wait, M trusts him?
M trusts him now.
Okay. Why?
Because Bond went up to her as he was escaping, and he's just like, I want in the report that Fields was really brave. And then he runs away. And M is like, well, he could have killed me, but he didn't. And he respected Fields, I guess. So I guess he's a cool guy now. So,
okay.
Whatever.
That's kind of bad.
Camille picks him up in a car, and Bond calls Felix. David Harbour is there too. Felix goes to find Bond in a bar. Felix tells Bond that cops are coming. They're quickly approaching to arrest Bond. But he says there's a deal going down that Medrano is trying to pay off everyone that he has debts with using Green's money. And Green is now en route to give Medrano the money. And so Bond and Camille have to go to where Green is going.
Mm-hmm.
And now everyone arrives at this hotel in the middle of the desert that is run by energy batteries. And I'm like, why would there be a hotel in the middle of the desert? Like,
saw a hologram for a king.
Yeah, that's true.
They make weird shit all the time in the desert.
Listen to Hologram for the King, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. So Bond, Camille, Green, and Medrano are all there. Medrano signs over his land, but he refuses to sign a new contract for the utilities provided by Green because it is double the price suddenly. Okay. Green mentions that he's willing to work with dictators and liberators. And if Medrano doesn't sign, whoever wants to replace him will be in his bedroom tomorrow and murder him.
Well, okay.
So Medrano's like, okay. So he fucking signs it. And then he goes to his hotel room and he just begins to assault the room service lady, like tying her down, tossing her on the bed. Camille bursts in and tries to kill Medrano. Medrano?
Yeah.
Madonna. Bond gets into a firefight. I wrote down, Jesus Christ, this editing is terrible. There's explosions. The hotel is in the middle of the desert. Like I said, it's run by power cells, and the power cells are exploding due to the heat caused by the fight, the bullets and stuff that are happening. Okay?
Sure.
So now the hotel is just exploding. Not like story by story, but just like from one end to the other end.
Right. Okay.
Explosions. Bond and Green battle it out, and I wrote down that Green is so ineffective it honestly makes for a really terrible dramatic fight, because it's clear he doesn't know how to fight. Doesn't know how to fight.
He's a loser.
So it's just like he's just like, ah! And he just yells at him and like fucking tries to like hit him with like bars and stuff, and Bond just easily is able to take care
of him.
It's
funny that he's able to take over him, though.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Finally, Green is nearly thrown over a catwalk into fire, but Bond holds onto him by his hair. And then Medrano is shot by Camille, but the room is completely on fire, and she is immediately triggered, remembering her family home, which was burned down by the same man. Ugh. And so Bond pulls Green to safety and lets him crawl away and goes to save Camille. Bond literally runs through fire to protect her, and they're now both trapped. They're under fire, like literally surrounded by it. Okay. Bond grabs a gun, and he tells her to close her eyes, and it looks like he's about to kill her or himself or maybe the both of them. He's just like, and she's like, don't waste that shot. And he's like, I won't. And he puts the gun like next to their heads, and then some kind of explosion happens. And then we see that there's just like a power cell in front of them, and he shoots at the power cell, which causes them to like explode out of the room, but not die.
What?
Which doesn't really, it doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense. Okay.
So Bond jumps into a car and goes to retrieve Green.
It's hard to write these last action scenes where they have to be dramatic and like, how do you escape?
How do you get him out of there?
Well, yeah. You shoot a thing and it blows you back.
And he gets him back. It's fine.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about like the fact that you impact something. Like,
yeah,
they hit
right?
something to break out, I imagine, right? Like glass?
No, they're just, it's behind them is just like stone or whatever. Like, it's
so
like
they break through the stone?
Yeah, the explosion breaks them through stone, but they aren't crushed by against the stone and the pressure of it.
Sure, definitely.
Yeah. Bond jumps in a car and retrieves Green, who's just walking in the middle of the desert. And then he leaves them in the middle of the desert. I'm like, why did he pick him up and then drop him off? But I think on the in between picking him up and dropping him off, Green told him everything he wanted to know about Quantum. And so he's like, yeah, I'm actually kind of saving you because if anyone wants to kill you, they're going to have to come in the middle of the desert and kill you. And then he throws them some kind of canned drink.
It's oil, dude.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. And he's like, drink it. And then he drives off. Camille and Bond kiss. She says that she wishes that he could... that she could set him free. And they say that the dead don't care about vengeance. And she's like, I'm going to go destroy those dams that Green built. And then we cut to Russia. And there's a couple. And they arrive in an apartment. And Bond is there waiting for them. And the woman, Corinne, works for the Canadian intelligence. And Bond tells her to leave. And because they have a leak. And it's also revealed that the necklace that the Canadian intelligence woman is wearing is the same necklace that Vesper used to wear. And the guy that she's with is Mr.
Cream. No.
Whatever his name is. The guy that, the bad guy.
Oh, Mr. Green?
Mr. Green?
Mr. White.
Mr. White.
There we go. Yeah.
That guy. So, and everyone's like, Mr. White's going to fucking die. Bond's going to kill this man.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't. Bond leaves and M is waiting for him. And Bond says the man's alive and he got info out of him.
Finally,
right?
Yeah.
Which I didn't realize because I was like, well, yeah, he did his job. But now I realize he had
He's
not
been
doing
killing
that
people
the
whole time.
Movie. So Green is found dead in the middle of the desert. He was shot in the back of the head and oil in his stomach.
Damn, he drank that motor oil.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I remember.
No. But there were shots in the back of his head. So I think he was caught by the rest of the Quantum.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Team. Bond says that M was right about Vesper, and then he tosses the necklace of Vesper's in the snow, and he leaves.
Damn.
And then he walks off, and it fades to black. And I'm like, well, here come the credits, right? Because that's how all these movies end, is that happens in the credits.
That's how movies work, generally.
And then you hear, ba-da-bum, 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 ba-da-bum. We see the gun barrel shot at the end, and I'm like, what's going on here? And then you see the title drop. I just wrote down, what is happening? And then the credits roll. And I'm like,
feel like an afterthought. Like, they didn't work it into anything.
No, it just fades to black, and then you see that scene, and then the credits start rolling.
Why didn't
you
just put the front?
I know! So, that's how the movie opens. That's how the movie ends. And that is Quantum of Solace, an afterthought of a film written and directed and edited in haste.
In haste. It feels like it. Yeah, I mean, I was excited for where it would go, but it sounds like it just
I was excited, too. I was excited how it would open. I didn't actually want to watch the end of it, but
yeah, sorry,
you know, that's how things shake out sometimes.
Sorry, sometimes if you make us watch more movies, you just got to watch the end of them.
I guess that's what happens.
Sometimes.
That's true. You know, I don't know if I remember the beginning of Skyfall that well. I wonder if we can watch another one.
Wait, hold on. Are you gonna make us watch another one? Are you going to?
I don't know. Well, guys, what do you guys think about the 007
movies?
What do
you mean? What? No, you can't. Mike, you can't do this.
What do you want? Why not?
I mean,
I can do anything I want.
But you shouldn't.
I shouldn't?
Well, I mean, you can do what you want, Mike.
Well, first off, what are the bullet holes we're giving this movie?
I don't know. Maybe like 2.5?
I was going to say you're going to give it 2.5 or 2. I give it 1.5.
Wow.
Maybe 2.
Yeah. I mean, it's like. I can think about some of the other Bond movies we watched. It's
better than some of them, but it's worse
but
than
yeah,
a lot of them,
it's
too.
It's definitely kind of in the mid-pack.
Yeah, it's
sure.
Very mid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, guys. Well, if you like this one or if you like any of the previous Bond movies, email us. Email at theotherhalfpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram. We're also on Blue Sky, and we have a Discord. And if you want to listen to our previous Bond episodes or any of our Watch Till You Can't series, you can find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read in the show no matter what it says, even if it is a call for us to stop watching these Bond movies.
Wait, why would they email us? Because this is the last movie we're going to watch.
This is definitely the last, right, Ethan?
Well, okay. So officially, Watch Till You Can't. Are we going to watch the next Bond movie, which is Skyfall?
Yeah.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
So we can end this.
Okay.
What are you going to say, Mike?
All right. Ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay, here we go.
I'm scared. He's cracking his knuckles. He's getting ready to go.
Here we go. I say, no, we're done. Good night, everybody.
I thought you were going to do it.
Check us out next week when we talk about all of the Bond movies. We're going to summarize them all and we're going to talk about them all.
We're going to have a fun little Bond cap off because we've watched so many.
We've watched so many movies.
We might as well cap it off.
We might as well celebrate. And we're going to list all the Bonds by quality, personally.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Check them out. Check us out next week.
Bye.
Bye. Good Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.